Let's go in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I started this last week talking about sowing and reaping. So powerful, so powerful. Sowing and reaping, and just as our foundation scripture here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "Be not deceived." Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The Amplified says, don't be deceived or deluded or misled. And I want you to notice that this is a new covenant scripture. So when he's talking about sowing and reaping, it is firmly established in the new covenant. We talked about this last week a little bit, but it says here, don't be deceived, deluded, or misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God, for whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Then it goes on to say in verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And what I talked to you about a little bit last week is, how does sowing and reaping really operate in a grace environment? How does sowing and reaping operate in a grace covenant, or in the Spirit covenant that we have, that is a new covenant? Because this has been a little bit of a struggle for me for the last 7 years or so in trying to figure out exactly where it fits. Because I know that Luke chapter 12 says it's God's good pleasure to give me the kingdom, and that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so I have an inheritance. And so as I've heard in the past, if I need to sow or to give in my time of lack so I can get a harvest, that seems like that my harvest is based on what I do and not based on what Jesus did. Does that make sense? And so we can live our lives concentrating on what we do instead of focusing on what Jesus did. And the new covenant is not based on what we do. The new covenant is based on what Jesus did. That everything that we have. So for instance, Romans chapter 8 tells us that if God would not withhold his Son from us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? So freely giving me all things doesn't seem like it's conditional based on what I do. It's based on what God did and his love for me. And so Ephesians chapter 1 says that God, you know, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has chosen us before the foundation of the world, and he has blessed us. He's already blessed us with everything that we need, with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that God has already given unto us all things that have been that pertain or that we need for life and godliness. So again, all these things have already been provided in Jesus Christ. So what about sowing and reaping? How does that fit into the kingdom? And so just to recap for 5 minutes real quick about last week. So you find in Genesis chapter 1 that before God ever created us, he created the herb, the grass, the flower, all of those things, the herb of the field that had seed, that was bearing seed, and that would produce after its kind. And he also produced trees and the fruit, it says, that, and the focus there is it had seed in it to produce after its kind. And then he commanded that the animals and the birds and the fish would all produce after its kind. And so when he created man, he created us after he already created a system where everything had seed within itself to produce after its kind. So what we find is that originally in creation, that God created everything to produce after itself, to multiply after itself. It had seed to multiply after itself. And so we begin to start getting a picture. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, let's go over there and look at it. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to kind of springboard from this further into the things that I ended with last week. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You'll notice that Jennifer's not here tonight. Her and Olivia have gone to Wisconsin to visit our other daughter, Brooke. And so they're going to have a great few days. A girl's time out. Glory to God. So it's just me and my dog right now at home. But hey, honey, I hope you're watching. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion, that's authority, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. This is so key. We're going to continue to look at the blessing of the Lord. God blessed them. Say that. God blessed them. Say it like you mean it. God blessed them. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm just going to ask a question. How were they going to be fruitful and multiply? Well, they were going to do it because God placed in them the capacity to reproduce. Let me turn off my phone here. The ability, just like he did with the animals, to reproduce and to multiply through seed. Amen. All right. And so now they were going to have to take what God had already given them, had already put in them to be able to multiply and to fill the earth. So let's look at it this way. We could take an apple and we could count the number of seeds in an apple, right? How many typically would be in an apple? Four, maybe? Four or five? I don't know. Six, seven? But how many apples will come out of one seed? We can count the seeds in an apple, but the creator of the universe knows how many apples are in one seed. Wow. See? That's good. So everything that you have and that's been given unto you that is in seed form, you don't know that you already have everything that you need to multiply, to produce, to be fruitful in your life. A lot of times we still look at what's in our hands as if it's not enough, what's in our bank account, what's in our cupboard, or whatever, what's in our closets, you know, whatever it is, that it's not enough. And we don't recognize that it could be there just in seed form to produce whatever you need. Now, what God did is he blessed them. He told them to be fruitful and to multiply. And he said, and replenish the earth. Look at this. Or to fill the earth. And he said, and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And look at verse 29. God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. Now, he didn't just say, I've given you every herb to eat. He highlighted the fact that he gave them every herb that had seed. It's important that we understand that what God's given us isn't just for our consumption, but is also for us to sow. Every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, look, yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. In other words, God's beginning to highlight, I've given you creation. I'm giving you fruit. Fruit trees. I'm giving you herb. I'm giving you everything that you need to multiply everything. In other words, you own the earth. You own everything that's in it, but it's in its raw form. And so as you possess the land, as you multiply, as you fill the land, you are carrying seed with you. You're carrying everything that you need and all that you have. Now, notice, the only thing that you have to do is plant the seed. So let's not look at it as if it's works on our part and that it's effort on our part, because at the end of the day, you're not responsible for the growth of the seed. I don't plant the seed and make the seed grow and all of that. I'm not the one doing that. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, let's go ahead and pull that up. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Hallelujah. For so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should scatter seed in the ground. So now he's about to talk to us about how the kingdom of God operates. This is the way the kingdom of God is. As if a man would put seed in the ground. And look at the next verse. And he would sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed would sprout and grow. And look at this. He himself does not know how. So what did the man do? He put the seed in the ground. The problem with a lot of people is they put the seed in the ground and then they dig it up to see if it's growing yet. And then they keep putting it back in. I wonder if it's working. I wonder, let me dig it up and let me check it out again. Or they've taken the seed that they've got and they said, you know what, I'd rather use the seed for myself, and they never get it into ground so it can grow.
Yeah, that's good.
A seed can't grow if it's not planted. And so it says that he sleeps not day and night and he doesn't know how the seed is growing. The seed is designed to grow by itself. It has everything in it to produce after its kind, to multiply after its kind. That's the way God intended it from the beginning of creation. God is not about addition. God is about multiplication. Glory to God. And not only that, He declared for creation to be this way. And not only that, but it was supposed to be effortless. It's supposed to be easy. The blessing of the Lord is on people to multiply. And now is on his covenant children to go back to first creation, to go back to the first intention, the first purpose that God had for us. And so we that are born, the Bible calls Jesus last Adam. We that are born into last Adam, we're born again. Now we end up being just in a place where we are blessed just like Jesus is. We're in him. We can't be, let's see, how do I say this? If you really understand how one you are with Jesus, if you really understand just how close that is, and that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, then what happens is you begin to see that the blessing of God is on him. And since it's on him, it has to be on you.
Amen.
Like we don't see ourselves apart from him. Well, Jesus is blessed, but I'm not. Jesus is blessed, but I'm lacking. Jesus is blessed, but I'm sick. Jesus is blessed, but I'm poor. Jesus is joyful, but I'm depressed. Jesus, no. We stop separating ourselves and our identity with him and begin rather to identify with him as he is. So are we in this world. Jesus is healed, so that means I am healed. Jesus is full of joy, so that means I am full of joy. Jesus is full of love, so I'm full of love. Jesus is victorious and is the conqueror, and he's made me more than a conqueror. See, I start identifying with him. The scripture says, Jesus has made unto me righteousness, sanctification, wisdom. And so I have joy in the Holy Ghost and joy unspeakable and full of glory because he does.
Amen.
I start thinking differently. So God blessed them and God said, I'm giving you seed. I'm giving you seed. So We looked at Abraham a little bit, how Abraham was blessed. In Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, we find that God came to a man named Abram and said, I'm going to bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And so because the blessing of the Lord was on Abram, everywhere he went, he was a blessing. He went into Egypt, there was famine. And so he didn't look at it and say, oh my God, what am I going to do? He was the blessing and the solution to Egypt's problem. The economy turned around in Egypt because of one man and because of the blessing. Did you know that Proverbs says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich? The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Now, we immediately identify that with money, but understand that people can have a lot of money, but be broken spiritually. People can have a lot of money, but have a broken family, have a broken marriage. So when it says that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, it also goes on to say, and it adds no sorrow with it. That we can live happy, successful, abundant lives. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 10:10? I've come that you might have life and have it and experience it and enjoy it more abundantly. That's what he came for, so that we could enjoy life, so that we could live a life that he has everything that he has for us. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me over to Genesis and let's take a look at the life of Joseph very briefly. We had gone past chapter 26 with Isaac, where it says he stayed in a place where there was famine. He sowed in that land. He planted seed, and it was blessed when nobody else was blessed. So much so that the people of that area envied him. God blessed him so much. It doesn't matter where you are, the ground is fertile. Wherever you are, don't look at where you are. It's like, well, everything's dried up around me. I need to go move on to somewhere. You don't go somewhere unless God says go somewhere. Right. Okay? I mean, Elijah's a great example. There was a famine in the land. Elijah was a prophet of God. And so God told him, said, go to the brook. And he says, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And so I like to say it this way. Other preachers say the same thing. But Elijah went to a place called there. He went to where God said to go. And so he stayed there. And since there was no rain in the land, what happened is this river, this brook, began to dry up. And then it dried up completely. And Elijah didn't say, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And just start leaving. No, what he did is he stayed right where God told him to stay. Because when you're where God told you to be, there is abundant supply for you, regardless of what's going on with people around you. What does Psalm 91 say? 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh me. What does Psalm 23 says? That he anoints my head with oil. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, part of the problem, if I can just get on my soapbox for just a moment and kind of meddle in some personal business for a moment, was one of the problems that the body of Christ has are that people, we have a false sense of what abundant living looks like. Yeah. Our sense of what abundant living looks like is that we never are surrounded by problems. Now listen to me. I'm not being negative here for a moment. What I'm saying is if you're not cautious, you will get into a wrong mindset that just because the business that you're a part of, you know, or that you're an employee at isn't doing well, that you might say, well, I'm a child of God. It shouldn't be happening to me. Or you might say, or if family members aren't doing well, or if you've, or if the economy around you isn't doing well, or just something isn't, that you're surrounded by problems, we begin to look at that as well, what's going on with me? Where have I missed it? God, I thought you said you would bless me. And we begin to identify ourselves, hear me, we identify ourselves with the surrounding circumstances and with our situations and with what's going on in our community, in our business, in our place of work, in our family, in our church, whatever that is. And that becomes our identity, and that becomes our measuring stick for whether we are blessed or not. And we need to change that attitude and recognize that we are the blessing going someplace to happen. That wherever we are fruitful. Wherever we are blessed. Wherever we are, whatever's going on at the desk across the room from me, at the cubicle right next to me, with what the managers and the layoffs and all of that, whatever that means, is that right now that God will prepare a table that is abundant, a table that is worthy of a feast right in the presence of those that would try to stab me in the back, that aren't doing well. In other words, what's going on around me is not an indicator of how blessed I am or how blessed I'm not, because the blessing of God is on my life and is not contingent upon the circumstances around me. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And he went to sleep because he was going to the other side. And a storm came up. Why did the storm come up? Was Jesus out of the will of God? Why did the storm come up? Was it because the disciples had committed some sin that day? Look, them guys were professional complainers and screw-ups, and so, you know, they did that every day. Why did the storm come up? You know, was it because the devil was just trying to kill Jesus and attack him? It doesn't tell us that. What we can say is that Jesus was in the perfect will of God and was surrounded by a storm, and he wasn't concerned about it at all. He was asleep. May have even been snoring a little bit. But considering that the boat was filled up with water, that snoring would have been blah, 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 blah. Everybody else was concerned. Everybody else was afraid. The disciples that was with the Creator, the Son of God, were afraid that they were going to die, and then blame Jesus because, you know, of his callous, don't you care? You don't even care about us. Man, you're talking about a whiny group of people. You don't even care that we're going to die and that sort of thing. And so, see, they were more concerned about their circumstances and did not have faith in the blessing of God that was on them and from that place. And so Jesus, when he got up and rebuked the storm, said, how is it that you don't have any faith? How is it? Literally, he had just got through talking about so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Literally, he had just that day had just talked about the word of God is the seed, and these are they that are sown on good ground. And he said, this is a parable that will talk to you about the kingdom and stuff. He says, how is it that you don't have any faith? I preached good today. You should really have a lot of faith. Your circumstances is not an indicator of how blessed you are. If you look at your bank account, if you look at what's in your house, if you look at, because think about this. Suppose you live in, I'm just going to throw out a figure. Suppose you, I'm just talking some practical things today, okay? Is that okay? Does this help? Suppose you live in a $200,000 house. Is that being blessed? Well, for some people, that's middle class. Okay, suppose you live in a $500,000 house. That's pretty nice. That's pretty blessed. Suppose it's fully furnished. Suppose that it's already paid for. Suppose you're also driving a nice Mercedes. And suppose in the middle of all of that, that God says, I have now called you to go to the Himalayan mountains to minister to a tribe of people there because they need the gospel. You can't take the $500,000 house with you, nor the Mercedes. What'd you say? It would look kind of funny up there at the top of the Himalayan mountains. As you go from one end of the village to the other. And that, so it's not an indicator of how blessed. In some place, it may be one indicator, but in another place, it wouldn't hold any value. It wouldn't be helpful at all.
That's right.
See, so we can't use the world's measure of prosperity and your culture's measure of prosperity and success to be our measure of prosperity and success. The starting place for us must be not what we have in the natural. The starting place must be what we have in the spiritual. Turn with me over to, let's take a look at Joseph here for a moment. So in chapter 39, I believe it is. Yeah. So you know the story of Joseph. Here he is, the youngest of many brothers, and the brothers were envious of him because he was their father's favorite. And so he had given them a coat of many colors and all these kinds of things. And so they were so jealous, they decided to kill him. And so, but instead of killing him, now God had given him a dream. And he foolishly told his brothers, I had a dream that you're all going to bow down to me. If you have a dream that your brothers and sisters are going to bow down to you, don't tell them. Lesson number one. They will not be as excited about that dream as you are. And so they thought, well, we'll make sure that dream doesn't ever happen. We'll just kill them. But what happened in the meantime is they had an opportunity to sell them into slavery, so they did. And he finds himself in Egypt in a place where he can't speak the language and all of that. And so what he does is check out in verse 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, verse 1, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord, look at verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, we could have just cried and moaned and complained. God, I thought you gave me a dream. But things have gone from bad to worse. Not only did I have my brothers upset at me, not only were they envious with me, not only were they making fun of me, but now they've sold me into slavery. I'm in a country that I can't speak the language, and I'm a slave. No chance for promotion. No chance for freedom. What if that had been his attitude? What if that had been his cry to God? What if that had been, oh me and woe is me and all of that? But we don't have an indication that he did that because he had a dream. He had a vision from God. And see, when God speaks, your circumstances don't determine whether or not that word is going to come to pass. Whenever we begin to gauge whether or not the Word of God and the dreams of God and the visions of God and the things that God has called us to do is contingent upon our surrounding circumstances, we've completely stepped out of a place of faith and trust and completely moved into the natural. And when you are living according to the natural and just reasoning according to the natural, you'll never be in a place I just had a picture. Give me just a second here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the ways to express what I just saw. Yep. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man would cast seed into the ground. When God, in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Now, when you have a word from God, whether you find it here in the Word or whether God's spoken to you in a dream, in a vision, and you know it's God, that word needs to be planted. It needs to be planted. And how do you plant that word? How's that word? You receive it with gladness, but you receive it if you're good soil. We're talking about your heart. There are different types of soil. There's the stony ground, there's the thorns, there's the wayside, there's all of that. But then the good ground is those that receive it, they keep it, they guard it, and it brings forth fruit. How do you plant, how does that word become implanted? Through faith. Through faith. The moment you make the decision, I believe the word of God. Man, I just got so much happening right now. Thank you, Lord. Let me explain it to you. We're not going to forget about Joseph, but I need to build this. You got to see this. This is very practical. This is the way for the Word of God to really produce fruit in your life. Hold your finger here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And let's take a look at verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Thank you, Father. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Shall be saved. You know, when you say the name Jesus, you're saying God is Savior. Jesus actually means is Yeshua, is Joshua, God our salvation, the God who saves. So when you're calling out the name Jesus, you're not calling on just on a man. You're actually declaring God is my deliverer. God is my salvation. Isn't that powerful? When you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That which you call out will happen. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So we see that the calling on him follows the believing. Amen. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? So the believing follows the hearing. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the hearing follows the preacher. Amen. And how shall they preach except they be sent? So the preaching follows the sending. There's a sending, there's a preaching, there's a hearing, there's a believing, and there's a calling. Follow that? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Now look at verse 17. A lot of you know this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word, when heard and received, will produce faith in your life. And so once it is believed, that's when it begins to take root. And that produces a calling or an action or something like that, which then produces salvation. Now, in the context, he's talking about the moment that somebody hears the gospel message. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to cause you to be born again. Jesus came to deliver you from sin and sickness and all of these things. That when a person hears that, they make a decision to hear. When they hear that word, they make a decision to believe what they've heard. The word has just been deposited. It's just gone in these ears, into that heart. And you say, you know what? That sounds good to me. I like it. And so I'm going to believe that. And so the moment you believe, what happens is an explosion takes place in your heart. That word just grows up instantly and an explosion takes place and you are born again. You believe it and you say, Jesus, come into my life. Now, it's not just the calling, because it says earlier in this chapter that for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's a seed is planted in your heart that when you decide to believe that, it causes you to express that, call it out, and then there's an explosion that takes place. You become born again. You're part. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes joined to your spirit. The angels in heaven rejoice, and it's just amazing. Now, this is a good example of how the seed works, how sowing seed works in your life. Now, let's go back to Genesis for a moment. Genesis 39. So, I said all of that just to kind of give you an illustration that the picture that I was seeing is that so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed in the ground. Your harvest of the word, your harvest of the kingdom is dependent upon the seed that you thank you, Lord. Give me the right words. The seed needs to be believed before it can grow. That's right. The seed of the Word of God needs to have faith mixed with it before it's truly planted and before it can grow in your life. And so when you believe what the Word of God says, when you have a dream, when you have a vision, when you have the Word, and that is more real, that is more true than anything else. So your circumstances now, your job, your business, none of those things, even a layoff. Suppose that you got laid off. Most people would freak out in that situation. If they lost their job, if they got laid off or whatever. But if your trust is in God, then you know that God's got you handled and God's got you taken care of. In other words, your blessing isn't dependent on your situation. I got to say it again. You being blessed isn't dependent on other people. It's not dependent on those around you. It's not in what you're going through right now isn't even indicative of whether you're blessed or not, because the Bible says you're blessed. And when you get to the place that you believe that, you've called on the name of the Lord. You've said, Father, I'm yours. I am your son. And you have blessed me. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. It's your pleasure to give me the... You lead me. You guide me. You do all of those things. When that's your reality and when that's what you're convinced at in your heart, then all of a sudden the word now has a root to truly come to pass in your life. You're led, you're guided, the Spirit of God is there. And so what happened here with Joseph, and I hope that I adequately explained what I was seeing, but what happened here with Joseph is he ends up going from one situation that wasn't that great to a worse situation to now he has no hope in the natural of getting out of. And so what we see here is when he finds himself enslaved in Egypt, it says the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Guys, you got to recognize, I don't care if you get into slavery, the Lord is with you and you're blessed. Oh, no, I'll never be enslaved. I get that. But you got to have such an attitude that you are so blessed. What'd you say? Everything you touch. Even stuff that isn't yours. Joseph didn't own anything. He had no house. He had nothing. No ownership. A slave couldn't own anything. But yet everything that he touched was blessed. Guys, let me also say this. The person that he was under, Potiphar, served other gods, was not serving Jehovah. He was an Egyptian. He served these multiple gods. But he was blessed because of Joseph. And I'm telling you, he knew it. The blessing that is on you is a testimony to those around you. And you should not look at wicked people and be fretful and envious because of the blessing that is on them. The fact of the matter is, if you're associated with them, if you're connected with them, they should be experiencing a blessing because you're there. And they may not be living a right lifestyle, and they may not be doing right, and they may not believe in God, and they may not be doing all of that. But you should expect those around you to be blessed because you are there. Because God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And we are the children of our Father, and we got to stop being judgment-minded concerning the way, you know, you let God handle all of that. I am blessed now, and I'll let God deal with the justice of everything. I'm not going to be the one that deals with it. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. He was excellent. He had the right heart where he was. He served him and he served him well. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And look at this. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Can you say that about where you work? Can you say that about who you're connected with, that the Lord has blessed them because of you? I told a wife of a young couple, I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your husband does. It doesn't matter. I said, the business will have to be blessed because of you.
Amen. That's right.
Well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is it? Stop asking the why. Stop looking at all of that and start declaring that you're blessed and start living out of a blessing mindset. Because the moment that the circumstances determine your reaction and your response, it shows whether you're in faith or whether you are not. And when you're responding according to what's going on around the natural, what that means, this is what I meant to say a while ago, it's finally taken me this long to say it, is that it just is an indicator of whether or not you truly have the word planted, or if when you're whining and complaining about what's going on in the natural, it just means that you've just dug up that seed and just said, I wonder if this is working or not. It don't look like it right now. And you've just taken that thing out where it can't produce. Hello. You follow what I'm saying here? My circumstances cannot be an indicator. It cannot be the thing that I look at to determine whether or not the Word of God is working or not. Because a seed, when you put it in the ground, it says you'll sleep night and day. It's working. It's doing its thing. But guess what it's doing first? Roots are going down and out further and further down. And then finally, one day, you'll start seeing a little indication that it's working. And then it'll start growing a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, you'll begin to see an increase in business. And it may be a little trickle here and a little trickle there. And you may start seeing unusual things start happening. But then all of a sudden, it just begins to escalate and avalanche and snowball. And next thing you know, 5 years later, you're looking at it, it's like, man, I got 3 or 4 stores. I've got this, I've got that. Do not despise small beginnings. Man, I'm encouraging myself. I don't know if it's blessing you guys or not, but I like it. I like it a lot. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. A supernatural covering, a supernatural blessing that just works through everything. Just works through everything. See it. I want you to see it. I want you to visualize it. Right now, I want you to take, just hold on to the thought. Let's finish Joseph real quick, and then we're going to take some time to dream for a moment and to see some things. Okay? We look at this and we're like, oh, Isn't God so good? Look at what God did. God lifted him up even in the middle of that. Oh, surely things are going to go better for Joseph. No, it went from bad to worse. Somebody lied about him. Imagine that. He got thrown into prison, into a dungeon. Because not of anything that he did, but because somebody lied about him. They were envious. They were jealous. He wouldn't sleep with her, that kind of thing. And so the lie came. And so it went from bad to worse. So what happened right there in the dungeon? He still gave glory to God. Still praised God. His circumstances didn't determine the blessing on his life. The blessing determined the circumstances on his life. You've got to come to a place of praise, a place of understanding, a place of whatever's going on around you. I am blessed. God blesses me. The blessing of the Lord is on me. Thank you, Jesus. I continue to sow seed. I continue to do things. I continue to do what's right. What happened? He ended up being put in charge of the prison. In every place, Joseph went as high as he could go. In every place, he was promoted. He didn't let any of it get... And then in one day, he went from where he was over the prison to second in command of Egypt and the known world at that time. One day. One moment in time. You don't think that I'll get into this next week, but your stewardship, hear me, your stewardship are seeds. Your stewardship over what belongs to somebody else is a seed for your future. Now, this isn't popular teaching, but I'll give you two examples. Joseph is one. We just looked at it. Joseph handled what belonged to Potiphar. Joseph handled what belonged to the prison keeper. Joseph handled that with honor, with integrity, and with excellence. Honor, integrity, and excellence. And that stewardship over all of these things produced for him this harvest that propelled him to being a steward, listen, over all of the grain, over every resource of Egypt. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 16? He that is faithful in little will also be faithful over much. If you're not faithful over that which belongs to another man, how can anyone entrust to you the true riches? Your stewardship will determine your promotion. Example number two, Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all got captured, sold into slavery, if you will, captured into captivity, taken to Babylon, didn't know the language, had to learn the language. And so what happened with Daniel? We'll look at it later, but they were elevated because of their excellence, because of their stewardship. But it started with a commitment with honor, integrity, and faithfulness to Jesus himself. I mean, not to Jesus, but to God, to the God of Israel. And then you find that when the second kingdom came through, the Medes and the Persians, that it says Daniel was preferred above every government official because there was an excellent spirit in him. The king didn't have to even concern himself with whether or not Daniel would steal, with whether or not Daniel belonged to another country as far as this king, but he was so faithful and there was such an excellent spirit in him that it produced in him favor that took him to the second highest in command of the whole kingdom of an empire that ruled the whole world. Stewardship. Faithfulness. We'll talk about those things. But what I want you to see is that the blessing of the Lord is not dependent on your circumstances. It is dependent on the Word of God. and we must move away from seeing what's going on. And so let's just kind of dream for just a moment. What I want you to see here is I want you to begin to think about your family. I want you to begin to think about your who do I have that's going to play some keys for me? I want you to begin to think about your current situation, your job, your job, your family. Think about your household. You can think about your possessions, but those things to you that make up your life. Those things to you that make up your life. Think about the things that you've been entrusted with, the things that that people have put into your hands. That they, you know, maybe it's on your job. Maybe it's over an estate. Maybe it's those kind of things. Think about all of those things that you have that you've been entrusted with and that just make up the your world, that make up the vastness of your life. And I'd like for you to kind of consider that in the same way that Joseph was over everything of Potiphar's for a moment. And then it says here, it says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And the way I kind of envision it, the way it always pictures in my mind, it's almost like this liquid golden force going throughout the fields of Potiphar, going into the houses of Potiphar, going into the lands, going into the cattle, and just, you know, it's just like this golden light that begins to go through and just begins to cause things to multiply, to cause things to grow, to cause things to be blessed and to be bountiful. And what I'd like for you to do, if you need to, just close your eyes for just a moment, and I want you to begin however you envision the blessing of the Lord. You are a child of God, and what I want you to see is that blessing, and like for me, it's just that golden light and love that comes from Him. What you can see it start with the most difficult circumstance that you have, the most difficult problem that you have, but I want you to see that everything that's in your hand and everything that you touch and everything that you're connected to is affected by the force of the blessing. By the force of the blessing that the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God that is on you right now, the anointing of God that flows through you, the blessing of God is going to your house, is going to your cars, is going to your clothes, is going to your children, is going to your husband or your wife. If you don't have a husband or a wife, it's going to the person that is going to be your husband and your wife. It's affecting everything at a supernatural level. And it begins to flourish. And you may have some things that have felt like it is dead, or that it is dying, and that it is not prospering, and it is not growing. I want you to change the way you see that. I want you to see new life coming into those areas right now. I want you to see new life coming into your body right now. I want you to see that seed planted that's producing and that's growing, and I just see a sprout, and then I see like it just kind of growing up and new life just, you know, just rapidly. You've seen those time lapses where a flower will grow and how quickly it'll grow and then all of a sudden will bloom. I want you to see that in your life right now. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, help us see it, help us see it, help us see it, help us see it. Help us see the blessing that you've given us, the blessing that is on us. Help us start from a place of blessing in our minds, that everything that we're involved in is blessed. That Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. For a moment, I'm just going to be quiet and let's take just about 60 seconds or 90 seconds or so, and let's just let the Spirit of God help you see. Father, open their eyes now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I just kind of hear from the Spirit of the Lord that as this becomes your vision, as this becomes your picture, as you begin to see this, that there will be a new confidence and a new boldness that will arise within you concerning your situations. You'll begin to declare the Word of God and declare things that you didn't know was possible over your situation, because now you're not trying to use your words to change your situation. You are now declaring what is true about your situation because of an inward reality, and that actually will produce change. But it's because the change has happened on the inside, and you're simply speaking forth that truth out of the Spirit. And so what God is showing you now becomes a reality on the outside. The blessing isn't determined by your circumstances. Your circumstances will be affected by the blessing on your life. Does that make sense? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Is it okay that we're just taking some time on these Wednesday nights to dig into this? I know it's a little bit line upon line, precept upon precept, but I think that it's important that we really ascend in our thinking to a higher level, to a higher understanding, to a higher expectation regarding seed time and harvest, regarding just how blessed we truly are. And now, I just love that picture. He will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and so my circumstances will not determine my response. My response will determine my circumstances. My declaration will determine all of those things. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for it. We receive it now in Jesus' name. I declare every single person that's here, every person watching by live stream, you are blessed. Blessed, blessed. The blessing of the Lord is on you. Everything that you set your hand to prospers. Everything that you have is multiplied, that the seed of the Word of God is in there doing its work, and the kingdom is growing. The kingdom is growing. The kingdom is growing and multiplying in your life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We acknowledge it's you that's doing the work. It's you that's working in and through us. It's you that has provided for us. It is not our effort. It's not what we do, but it's by resting in you. It's receiving from you. It's trusting you. It's grabbing a hold of what's been freely given to us by grace through faith, so that the seed of that is planted and will produce kingdom results in every area in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.